Think back to the last time you bit your tongue to avoid conflict. Maybe you nodded along when your colleague took credit for your idea, or smiled through gritted teeth when your partner made plans without asking. That simmering resentment you felt, it didn't disappear. It just went underground. Now flip the script. Remember when you finally spoke your truth but left emotional wreckage in your wake? Most of us ping-pong between these extremes, either swallowing our feelings until we choke or spewing them until relationships fracture. But there's a third way, one that refuses to sacrifice honesty or connection. It's called carefronting, and it might be the most underrated relationship skill you'll ever learn. Carefronting sounds like corporate jargon, but it's actually revolutionary. It means confronting others exactly as you'd want to be confronted. Not with kid gloves that coddle, not with brass knuckles that bruise, but with firm gentleness that says, I care about you and I need to tell you something hard. This isn't about being nice. Nice people avoid conflict. Carefronting embraces it because the relationship matters enough to risk discomfort. Consider how Jesus handled the woman caught in adultery. He didn't join the stone-throwing mob, but he also didn't pretend adultery was fine. Neither do I condemn you, he said. That's the care. Go and sin no more. That's the confronting. Both truths held together, neither sacrificed for the other. We have five conflict styles: withdrawing, winning, compromising, yielding, or collaborating. Carefronting is the fifth option, refusing to choose between person and truth because both matter deeply. Before carefronting effectively, master truthing, communication stripped of manipulation and hidden agendas. Start by listening so deeply you hear not just words, but the experience behind them. Most of us listen to respond, our rebuttals forming before the other person finishes. Real listening creates space for someone else's reality without immediately imposing our own. When speaking, truthing demands simplicity, personal ownership, complete honesty, and directness. Notice the difference. You always interrupt me assigns blame. I feel frustrated when I can't finish my thoughts owns your experience. Address issues when fresh rather than building resentment. Pair feeling with want. I care about you and I want to be close. That word and refuses to pit caring against truth-telling, holding both in creative tension. Your anger is rarely about what you think it's about. When someone cuts you off in traffic, you're not just angry about dangerous driving. You're angry that your space was violated, your time disrespected, your existence dismissed. Anger is fundamentally a demand, often a whole stack of them, from drive safely to acknowledge that I matter. Freedom from destructive anger starts with tracking down and naming these demands. The shift happens when you move from you messages that attack to I messages that own. You're so inconsiderate becomes I feel hurt when plans change without notice. You never listen becomes I need to feel heard when I share important things. This isn't semantic game playing. It's the difference between starting a war and starting a conversation. When you direct anger through love while remembering the other person's equal preciousness, it transforms from relationship poison into medicine for growth. Confrontation is a gift. Without it, relationships stagnate. Real confrontation requires caring and trust. Power without love becomes ruthless. Love without power remains helpless. 8 skills make confrontation effective. Focus on actions, not actors. This report has errors, not you're careless. Share observations, not conclusions. You've missed 3 meetings, not you don't care. Offer descriptions, not judgments. Your voice is raised, not you're hostile. Address quantity, not quality. You interrupted twice, not you're rude. Provide information and alternatives, not advice. Give only what's useful. Choose optimal timing. Focus on what and how rather than why, because why questions feel like accusations. The real transformation happens when you unite caring and confronting with and instead of but. I love you, but this behavior concerns me implies conditional love. I love you and this behavior concerns me holds both truths simultaneously. That subtle shift creates space for growth rather than defensiveness. Without trust, confrontation feels like attack. With it, confrontation becomes an invitation to grow together. Trust operates bidirectionally. Being trusted enhances your capability, while distrust triggers defensive retreat. When trusted, you rise to meet expectations. When doubted, you shrink to fulfill low opinions. Trust-building behaviors include respecting freedom, practicing honesty, taking emotional risks, showing vulnerability, and acknowledging mistakes. The paradox? Trust must balance with appropriate mistrust. This productive tension generates possibility while maintaining healthy boundaries. When someone trusts you enough to offer difficult feedback, they're demonstrating investment in your growth. That trust transforms confrontation from threat to gift. You receive the message without questioning your fundamental worth. Trust becomes the container holding both support and challenge, allowing relationships to deepen through honest communication rather than shallow pleasantries. Nothing kills conflict resolution faster than blame. In any ongoing relationship, both people contribute to the problem. We are the problem, not just one person. A husband believes his wife is 90% responsible for their communication issues because she's critical. She believes he's 90% responsible because he withdraws. In reality, they're caught in a cycle where her criticism triggers his withdrawal, which increases her criticism. Perfect 50-50 responsibility disguised as one-sided fault. Self-blame is equally destructive. We blame ourselves for the wrong reasons, aren't qualified to judge ourselves, and create a lose-lose situation. Our memories are selective museums displaying carefully curated artifacts, not objective evidence. Love ends the blaming game and focuses on responsibility, not backward-looking fault, but forward-looking action. Instead of, "Whose fault is this?" ask, "What's the loving thing to do now?" This transforms conflict from a battle to be won into a problem to be solved together. When we're engaged in inner civil war, constantly feeling judged, life becomes a perpetual courtroom where we're always on trial, working for praise we mistake for love and fearing criticism we mistake for rejection. Freedom comes from reclaiming those gavels we've distributed and refusing those others try to delegate to us. When you internalize your locus of evaluation rather than seeking external validation, you become a responsible agent rather than a people-pleasing performer. The hardest challenge? Accepting love without earning it first. To truly enjoy another person is like enjoying a sunset. You simply appreciate it with awe. Joy happens when someone sees your faults and still loves you. When a friend truly hears not just your words, but your very being, that's grace, the profound enjoyment of being enjoyed. 3 affirmations help: choosing not to reject your actions merely because someone criticizes them, refusing to disown or make excuses for your behavior, and changing only out of respect for others' feelings, not from fear of judgment. Carefronting offers a revolutionary third path: be both honest and kind. The next time you're tempted to swallow your feelings or unleash them recklessly, pause. Ask yourself, how would I want to be confronted if I were on the receiving end? Then speak that way, clearly, directly, and with unmistakable care.